Penguin Random House Audio presents The Year of the Witching by Alexis Henderson. Read for you by Brianna Collette. The Beast. She was born Breach in the deep of night. The midwife, Martha, had to seize her by the ankles and drag her from the womb. She slipped out easy, dropped limp into Martha's arms, and lay still as stone. The midwife's daughter gave a low groan that bubbled up from her belly. She grasped at the folds of her nightdress, its hem soaked black with blood. But she made no move to reach for her child. Instead, she turned her head, cheek pressed to the tabletop, and stared across the kitchen to the window above the sink, gazing into the woods.
"Her name,"
she demanded, eyes sharp with moonlight.
"Give me her name."
The midwife took the babe, cut her cord, and swaddled her in a scrap of burlap. The child was cold against her breast, and she would have thought her dead if it weren't for the name that rattled at the back of her throat. Its flavor, bitter as bile, and yet sweet as wine. The taste of the name the father had chosen for her. But she didn't want to say it, not out loud. With the last of her strength, the girl twisted to face her.
"The name. I want her name."
"Emmanuel,"
she finally bit it out like a curse.
"She will be called Emmanuel."
At that, the girl on the table smiled, blue lips stretching taut. Then she laughed. An ugly, gargling sound that echoed through the kitchen, spilling out to the parlor where the rest of the family sat waiting, listening.
"A curse,"
she whispered, still smiling to herself.
"A little curse, just as she said, just as she told me."
The midwife clutched the child close, locking her fingers to still their shaking. She gazed down at her daughter, lying limp on the table, a dark pool of blood between her thighs.
"Just as who told you?"
"The woman in the woods,"
the dying girl whispered, barely breathing.
"The witch, the beast."
Part 1. Blood. Chapter 1. From the light came the father, from the darkness the mother. That is both the beginning and the end. The Holy Scriptures. Emmanuel Moore knelt at the foot of the altar, palms pressed together in prayer, mouth open. Above her, the prophet loomed in robes of black velvet, his head shaved bristly, his bloodied hands outstretched. She peered up at him, tracing the path of the long, jagged scar that carved down the side of his neck, and thought of her mother. In a fluid motion, the prophet turned from her, robes rustling as he faced the altar where a lamb lay gutted. He put a hand to its head, then slipped his fingers deep into the wound. As he turned to face Emmanuel again, blood trickled down his wrist and disappeared into the shadows of his sleeve, a few of the droplets falling to the stained floorboards at his feet. He painted her with the blood, his fingers warm and firm as they trailed from the dip of her upper lip down to her chin. He lingered for a moment, as if to catch his breath, and when he spoke, his voice was ragged.
"Blood of the flock."
Emmanuel licked it away, tasting brine and iron as she pressed to her feet.
"For the glory of the Father."
On her way back to her pew, she was careful not to spare a glance at the lamb, an offering from her grandfather's flock. She'd brought it as a tribute the night before, when the cathedral was empty and dark. She had not witnessed the slaughter. She'd excused herself and retreated outside long before the apostles raised their blades. But she'd heard it, the prayers and murmurs drowned out by the cries of the lamb, like those of a newborn baby. Emmanuel watched as the rest of her family moved through the procession, each of them receiving the blood in turn. Her sister Glory went first, dipping to her knees and obliging the prophet with a smile. Glory's mother Anna, the younger of the two more wives, took the blessing in a hurry, hurting her other daughter, Honor, who licked the blood off her lips like it was honey. Lastly, Martha, the first wife and Emmanuel's grandmother, accepted the prophet's blessing with her arms raised, fingers shaking, her body seized by the power of the Father's light. Emmanuel wished she could feel the way her grandmother did, but sitting there in the pew, all she felt was the residual warmth of the lamb's blood on her lips and the incessant drone of her heartbeat. No angels roosted at her shoulders, no spirit or God stirred in her. When the last of the congregation was seated, the prophet raised his arms to the rafters and began to pray.
Father, we come to thee as servants and followers eager to do thy work.
Emmanuel quickly bowed her head and squeezed her eyes shut.
There may be those among us who are distant from the faith of our ancestors, numb to the Father's touch and deaf to his voice. On their behalves, I pray for his mercy. I ask that they find solace, not in the mother's darkness, but in the light of the Father.
At that, Emmanuel cracked one eye open, and for a moment, she could have sworn the prophet's gaze was on her. His eyes were wide open at the height of his prayer, staring at her in the gaps between bowed heads and shaking shoulders. Their eyes met, and his flicked away.
May the Father's kingdom reign.
The prophet's flock spoke as one, now and forevermore. Emmanuel lay by the river's edge with her friend Leah, shoulder to shoulder, both of them drunk off the warmth of the midday sun. Yards away, the rest of the congregation gathered in fellowship. For most, the shadow of the Sabbath slaughter had already faded to a distant memory. All was peaceful, and the congregation was content to abide in that. At Emmanuel's side, Leah shifted onto her back, peering into the thick banks of the clouds that loomed overhead. She was a vision, dressed in sky blue chiffon, her skirts billowing gently with the breeze.
It's a good day,
she said, smiling as the wind snatched her hair. In the scriptures and the stories, in the stained glass windows of the cathedral, or the paintings that hung from its stone walls, the angels always looked like Leah, golden-haired and blue-eyed, dressed in fine silks and satins, with full cheeks and skin as pale as river pearls. As for the girls like Emmanuel, the ones from the outskirts, with dark skin and raven-black curls, cheekbones as keen as cut stone, well, the scriptures never mentioned them at all. There were no statues or paintings rendered in their likeness, no poems or stories penned in their honor. They went unmentioned, unseen. Emmanuel tried to push these thoughts from her mind. She didn't want to be jealous of her friend. If there was anyone in the world who deserved to be loved and admired, it was Leah. Leah with her patience and virtue. Leah, who when all the other children at school had scorned Emmanuel as a child of sin, marched across the courtyard, took her firmly by the hand, and wiped her tears away with her sleeve. Leah, her friend, the only one she had. And Leah was right. It was a good day. It would have been nearly a perfect day if not for the fact that it was one of the last of its kind, one of the last Sabbaths they would have together. For years, every Sabbath, the two of them had met after the service ended. In the winter months, they'd huddled together in an empty pew at the back of the cathedral and gossiped to pass the time. But in the warm seasons, Leah would bring a big picnic basket stuffed with pastries from her family's bakery in the village. On good days, there'd be an assortment of biscuits and sweetbreads, scones and cookies, and on the very best days, a bit of honeycomb or jam to go with them. Together, they'd find a spot by the stream and eat and gossip and giggle until their families called them home. Such had been their custom, as though on those long afternoons in the meadow, the world began and ended there at the riverside. But like most good things, Emmanuel knew.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?